Away we go, hour number three of our radio program, Zach Gelb Show, Infinity Sports Network. We will get to Andrew Perloff coming up 20 minutes from now for some picks. This is just the way I am. I'll get into this Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson conversation in just a second. I'm annoyed by something that I just saw on Twitter. Really annoyed. So John Clark, who does a great job covering Philadelphia sports for 20-something, 30-something years, he just tweeted out a photo of A.J. Brown, and A.J. Brown is with Jim Murphy. Now, you may be like, who the heck is Jim Murphy? A.J. Brown met with Jim Murphy, the author of the book Inner Excellence, today at the Eagles NovaCare Complex for an interview with ESPN Sal Palantonio. Now, I don't know where Jim Murphy's from, but he is in a Kelly Green Eagles sweatshirt. So, if that's what A.J. Brown needs to do, be on a sideline in a playoff game, and I know he's done it throughout the year, reading a book, if that calms him down, you know, whatever. We've moved past that. But I don't know why, and I know this guy is a well-respected reporter. Sal Palantonio recently has just annoyed me. And we are going to get cheesy TV here where A.J. Brown and Jim Murphy, it is going to be a projectile vomit interview, where it's going to make me sick when I watch this. And I don't know why. I think this is why Sal Pal annoys me now. And like, I shouldn't be annoyed by Sal Pal, but I am. When I was in Philadelphia, living in Philadelphia, and right, that's an established guy, Sal Palantonio, right? Established reporter, credible reporter. I started to realize he would always be like, oh, I texted with Doug Peterson, you know, the morning of the game. And Doug told me, you know, I told the team last night in our team meeting, like, play tough, play with energy, play with emotion, and do what you're capable of. Like, what kind of report is that? I've always laughed at the Sal Palantonio reporting. You know, I texted Nick Sirianni, you know, block out the noise and just focus on the task at hand. It's always something that's so generic. And you think you're getting this big exclusive because you text Doug Peterson and you text Nick Sirianni. But, I know a cheesy interview, especially a cheesy TV interview, and I could see it from 4,000 miles away. And this will be the definite, I don't even need to watch it. I don't even need to see it. I don't even need to listen to it. I don't even need to know anything else that's going on besides Sal Palantonio, A.J. Brown, and Jim Murphy, who is the author of Inner Excellence. This will be your snooze fest, cheesy kind of TV interview. Oh, it's going to be boring. It's going to be insufferable. So that's where I'm at right now. I didn't think I'd spend the first 3 minutes of our 5 o'clock p.m. Eastern time hour on divisional round weekend talking about Sal Palantonio. But the last few years, I've had enough of Sal Palantonio. And he's like a nice guy. Don't get me wrong. Nice guy. Never had an issue with him outside the last few years. I hear his reports, and you expect inside information out of Sal Pal, and it's the farthest thing from the truth. All righty. This is a difficult question. Who is there more pressure on this weekend, Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen? Let's lay out the road for both. Lamar Jackson last year, number one overall seed, was at home, lost in an AFC championship game, is a two-time MVP award winner, and doesn't have that signature postseason moment yet. There is not a moment so far in Lamar Jackson's postseason career where you go, man, that's a positive for Lamar Jackson. Josh Allen, on the other hand, no MVPs, could win the MVP this year, has made it just like Lamar before to an AFC championship game. And a lot of times when they lose, he plays well. Where you look at Kansas City last year, Bass missed the kick, right? You had a blocking issue where he had to throw the ball high. Stephon Diggs dropping that 80-yard bazooka arm of Allen where he threw the football. I still don't know how he did that down the right sideline, and Stephon Diggs dropped it. But, you know, it's everyone else's problem in Buffalo besides Stephon Diggs. Catch the damn ball, right? So you look at both these players. Two of the top four quarterbacks in the NFL. Mahomes, Burrow, Lamar, Allen, whatever order you want, right? Mahomes will be one, and then you figure out who 2, 3, 4 is. But Josh Allen this year, you could say where expectations were before the start of the season has already exceeded expectations. There was legitimate doubt if Josh Allen was going to win the AFC East this year. Miami, no problem. Jets, no problem. Patriots, not a good team, obviously. So you look at the Lamar Jackson angle, too. I go back to where we were before the start of the season. I don't think people were like glowingly talking about the Ravens. Yeah, like sure, you went into this year, three teams to get to a Super Bowl. I think most people would say Kansas City is clearly one. Then after that, you know, you got to consider the Ravens. You even still with all the change they had, you have to consider the Bills. You know, some people had the Texans. I remember the Texans being a little bit of a pick for some people. But for most, it was really Kansas City and everybody else. But I take you back to this time last year, you know, right around when the Ravens lost in the AFC Championship game. What did a lot of us say? No reason to believe in Lamar and the Ravens again when they get into the postseason. But the Ravens got Derrick Henry. And when the Ravens got Derrick Henry, that kind of lit a spark, you know, kind of, you know, back up and kind of thought that, okay, this a Ravens team, how do you stop them in the red zone when you got not only Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry, if he's healthy, those Zay Flowers, and you also have Mark Andrews, Isaiah Likely, you know, just have so many athletic weapons down inside the 20, down inside the red zone. And both these teams this year, they've done a really good job in restoring confidence back that, okay, maybe they could win. But whoever wins this game in all likelihood goes to Kansas City next week, unless you think the Texans pull off the upset. And you will exhale for a second on Sunday night, but then it's right away going into Kansas City, Kansas City, Kansas City. Because, hey, the Ravens in week one, they almost beat the Chiefs. All right? They did a really good job in that game. And the Bills, they beat the Chiefs this year, but they beat the Chiefs for the last 4 years. So when I'm answering this question, who is there more pressure on? Is it Lamar Jackson or is it Josh Allen? I think most people are just looking individually. Like, hey, is it just Josh or is it just Lamar? But I think the environment that Josh Allen is in, it's actually Josh Allen. You are home. I know you are the underdog technically in the sports book, but look at the weapons you have around you. Like if Josh Allen isn't on his A game, do I think that James Cook, Dawson Knox, Dalton Kincaid, Keon Coleman, Amari Cooper, Khalil Shakir, do I think those guys are good enough to bail Josh Allen out? I don't. Lamar Jackson could have a B game. Like he can't have a C game. But he could have a B game, and if Derrick Henry has an A game, have fun being a defender on the Buffalo Bills trying to tackle him. So, yes, I know that if Lamar loses this game, right, what are we going to say about Lamar Jackson? Another great season, regular season quarterback, postseason time, not so much, right? That's what's going to be said about Lamar Jackson. You know, it kind of reminds me a lot like how we talked about Peyton Manning early on in his career. You know, one of the best regular season quarterbacks ever, then postseason time didn't work. And can Lamar eventually win a Super Bowl in this league? Yes. I find it comical. And it's amazing how impatient we are and how reactionary we are. You would think Lamar Jackson's 35 by how confidently people say he can't win a Super Bowl. He's 28. Like, look how long it took John Elway to hoist that Lombardi trophy. Like Lamar Jackson is only 28 years old and he just turned 28 10 days ago. So this idea that Lamar can never win a Super Bowl, it's ludicrous to me. But I do think that if Lamar doesn't get the job done, like unless if it's a classic 35-31 type of game or 34-31 where it's just high octane offense, just moving the ball down the field. And just one team's defense, you know, can't get a stop at the end. You know, yeah, Lamar nor Josh Allen should be shredded. But I'm thinking about if these teams lose, you know, if these one of these players lose, and one of them will, obviously, you know, Lamar is going to get shredded because there's been a constant theme. You know, Stu, if Josh Allen loses this game and he plays well, I wonder what we're talking about. Like, if Josh Allen doesn't play well, yes, Josh Allen's going to, hey, the Bills, That's what they are. That's the DNA of their franchise. They are an organization. You know, Jim Kelly went through it. You got the four Super Bowl appearances. You can't get, you can't win one. Josh Allen has been there, trying to, chip away, AFC Championship game, classic division around games, can't get the job done. And that will be talked about. But I do kind of agree with Ty Dunn, where he said, when I asked him, Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen, who's more pressure? And he goes, oh, Sean McDermott. And I do think there's a way where McDermott is getting more of the heat than Josh Allen if the Bills don't win Sunday. So, like, I don't want to argue with myself here, because I just told you that Josh Allen's under the most pressure this weekend because he's home, right? He doesn't have an MVP. And also, he is asked to do more because he doesn't have, and Lamar is asked to do a ton. You know, but you got to have tiebreakers here. But Lamar Jackson has another complimentary piece that is great in Derrick Henry. Like, I like James Cook. I think James Cook is a really good running back, but hot take of the day, he is not Derrick Henry. But where you could say there's more pressure on Lamar is, I don't know who we're blaming if it's not Lamar. Like, the defense, I know, has been up and down in Baltimore, but the defense last year was really good up against the Chiefs, and Lamar didn't bail them out. You know, do I think we're blaming John Harbaugh? Probably not. Do I think we're blaming Derrick Henry? Probably not. Could it be like a wide receiver if Zay Flowers plays and he made a boneheaded decision last year with the fumble situation? Yeah, I guess, and the emotions. But it seems pretty clear and obvious here that if the Ravens don't win this game, it's Lamar Jackson who's the player that person that we're talking about the most. If it's the Bills, how many times have we seen Buffalo have a really good effort by Josh Allen in the postseason, and then you see the defense mess it up in 13 seconds or less, or Sean McDermott makes a boneheaded play call? So I think there's more excuses to be made and more people to examine on why Buffalo didn't win the game. But I still look at the situation, Stu, of just Lamar up against Josh and you know, who has won MVPs, who hasn't, who is home and who is not, and the talent on offense in one spot compared to the other. And I do think there's more pressure on Josh Allen to get the job done. And also, if you lose this one to the Ravens, and I know they've already lost to the Ravens this year, but next week, you also think about, okay, I know we haven't beat the Chiefs when it's mattered in the postseason, but we have beat them four times in the regular season. So it's one of those things of, oh, we couldn't even get there. And if we got there, maybe we would have beat Kansas City because we beat them the last 4 years in the regular season. So I'll ask you this, Stu. Which quarterback's under more pressure this weekend, Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen?
I think it's Lamar. Mm-hmm. I think the fact that going into the season, I think a lot of people were down on the Bills. Some people thought they would finish second or third in the East. They obviously didn't do that. They kind of overcame that. And then the Ravens, you look at the Ravens, the way last season ended, they add Derrick Henry in the offseason, so that's a big piece. That the Bills really didn't do anything crazy this offseason. They kind of got rid of more guys than adding more guys in terms of star power. So I just think if the Ravens lose, it's going to be really bad for Lamar. And if, kind of like you said, if the Bills lose, yeah, Josh Allen's going to get criticism, but it's going to be McDermott. It's going to be team building. It's going to be this. They don't have enough around Josh Allen. I think that's going to be more of the conversation. So I think it is Lamar that has more pressure on him.
I have vacillated on this answer, I think, every day this week. You know, I can make the case for Lamar. I can make the case for Josh, but I am leaning towards Josh Allen in this one. I can't wait for that game. Sunday, I think, is going to be a wonderful day of football because I believe the Rams are alive. I'll tell you who I think is going to win the game when we do picks with Perloff in just a bit, but I think the Rams are alive. And really, the Ravens, I know they beat the Bills earlier in the year, but the Ravens being a 1.5-point favorite on the road in Buffalo, I don't know what Vegas is trying to make me do. I don't know what mind games Vegas is doing, because in one aspect, I could look at it and be like, are they daring me to plus the points here with Buffalo or take Buffalo on the money line? Or in the other realm, is it, okay, a lot of people are loving the Ravens right now because, right, the Ravens are sexy. You got Lamar Jackson, you got Derrick Henry. That's fun. That's a sexy offense when you have those two guys and what they're able to do. But, like, you look at the Ravens, I could see a lot of people saying, the Ravens are only a point and a half favorite? Like, only? Like, I'll lay the number, right? So I think Vegas is in a good spot here. I don't know how the money's coming on in. I would imagine more of it is on the Ravens. But that has been the game that has just been, hey, you want to have a mind bleep in terms of trying to pick a game? Absolutely, it's the Ravens and Bills. So who's under more pressure? Is it Lamar? Is it Josh Allen? 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. At Zach Gelb, Twitter and Instagram. Make sure you follow. Make sure you interact with us. At Zach Gelb, ZACHGELB. We'll take a break. We'll welcome in one of our teammates here at the Infinity Sports Network. You listen to him Monday through Friday from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Many of these same Infinity Sports Network affiliates. Sirius XM, Channel 375. The free Odyssey app, and they stream live on YouTube as well. That's Andrew Perloff from the Maggie and Perloff Show. He'll join us with some Perloff picks next. All righty, Zach Gelb Show, Infinity Sports Network, now joining us. You can listen to him all week long, Monday through Friday. Operates the morning shift here on the Infinity Sports Network from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern Time, and many of these same Infinity Sports Network affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 375, the free Odyssey app, and of course, streaming on YouTube. He is the co-host of the Maggie and Perloff Extravaganza. That is the great Andrew Perloff. Mm-hmm. Perl, what's happening?
Hey, I see you, Sporting Temple. We had a big win this week because, as you know, I glom on when they're good.
Yes, very big. Penny Hardaway, you bum, all right? Temple won. I'm very happy. Mama's cheesesteaks for all. That's the way that I'm kind of in the line of thinking right now.
Let's go. Wait, by the way, have you tried the new Bradley Cooper cheesesteak place around the corner from our workplace?
So I have not. Have you?
No, I have not. It's got weird bread, so I'm nervous. It's got sesames on the bread.
Yeah, no, that's very good bread. It is from Angelo's. It's the same cheesesteak. You know what? That would be a good content idea. I don't care if the company comps it or not. We should have Kaplan take you and I, because we are the cheesesteak experts around here.
Yeah.
And we go to the new Bradley Cooper cheesesteak shop. And we have to wait. Well, we'll go with you. You're a big star, so we won't have to wait in line. But 3 hours I've seen people waiting for a cheesesteak. It's crazy.
Yeah. No, we've already started plans, and you are more than welcome to join. We were going to do that, but I didn't realize it was a 3-hour wait. I don't know how we're going to do that part of it, but I'm in. And by the way, I mean, Zach, let's not beat around the bush. We got to start talking food plans for New Orleans. I assume that's what the main function of me coming on right now is.
Yeah, well, I'm a little bit annoyed. I love Sully, but I told Sully that I'm mad at him, that he is not coming on this trip, which I always feel as if Sully says he's not going to go on the trip, and then we'll get a text like the day of, hey, guys, I just landed in New Orleans. Where are you at? I made one reservation so far, GW Finn's, which I've never been to, but I told, like, you have to go. There's going to be a lot of food consumed in New Orleans, one of my favorite cities in the world.
Yeah, I mean, getting Sully east of the Mississippi is a challenge. So I understand that. The one thing, there's a joke in a new movie, but New Orleans has 1,000 restaurants all with the same menu. So that is a little bit of the issue. There is some rumblings out there that New Orleans can get repetitive as a food town. I didn't say it. Just in case there are any Louisiana listeners, I did not say that. It was not Andrew Perloff.
Are you a picky eater? You don't come off to me as someone that's picky, right?
No, not at all. I'll try anything.
Yeah, so like turtle soup, you have no problem trying.
I love it. It's amazing. And that's a big Philly food, too. You ever hear of Bookbinder's Restaurant in Philadelphia? It's the most famous restaurant. They invented snapper soup. You can find it on the shelves of the grocery store. Bookbinder's snapper soup. I own a tortoise. I could bring him up, but I would eat him if it came down to it.
What are you doing for dinner tonight? Maybe I'm coming over. I don't think your daughters would be too happy if you killed a turtle.
No, that would be very bad. That would be very bad.
That would be a horrific sight, but it would do a lot of views online. I will just say.
This is terrible.
Awful. I'm a terrible human being. All righty, before we get to picks, let me just pick your brain on a few things. Ben Johnson. Where do you think Ben Johnson's coaching next year?
I was just telling Stu that there's a report, and I apologize, I don't even know where it's from, that he could become the highest paid coach in NFL history by the Las Vegas Raiders. So remember, they made Gruden a 10-year $100 million deal. I think Chicago is still the most likely destination. I think it's a little more likely, but I do think Vegas will make the Godfather offer, and then we'll see. So I would vote slight edge Chicago, with Vegas second, Jacksonville third.
I'm annoyed with him by now. It's like last year you didn't take the Commanders' job. The Bears and the Jaguars, you have resistance because of their GMs. If he goes to the Raiders, I'd be happy for Stu because I think the guy could be a good coach. But what, outside of the fact that they don't have a GM and Tom Brady's there, why the heck would you go to the Raiders? And that's where I feel like he's going right now because there's no GM in place.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. He could bring a guy. I mean, maybe you make the argument that you're starting from scratch. You could build your team, bring over some of the Lions guys. I know Kevin Zeitler is a free agent. Bring over guys who know the system. Like, remember when Rex Ryan came to New York and he brought his team? I guess, like, because there's no one there to displace. You just bring a whole new team.
So get into the Cowboys. What a mess this is. Like, the search isn't even, like, officially underway. Like, you don't know all the candidates. But McCarthy basically told him to go pound Sam when they probably gave him like only a 2-year extension, which I'm good with. We'll see if Mike winds up with the Saints or if he goes to the Bears or if he just doesn't have a job at all. Where are you at with Deion? You think Deion's going? I think it's going to be Kellen Moore.
I think it's – I hate to agree with you. I think it's Kellen Moore too. I think Jerry doesn't make the splash hire. I don't even know where this Deion stuff came from. Jerry did sign Bill Parcells in the late 90s, but he needed a stadium. He needed to win some games. Then he went with Dave Campo, Chan Gailey, Wade Phillips, Jason Garrett for a decade almost.
A lot of
Mike
puppets.
McCarthy. So boring, though. Like, yes, exactly. Like, Kellen Moore fits the Dave Campo, Chan. He is Chan. He's a young Chan Gailey. Basically, he fits what Jerry does. And I don't think Jerry does a coaching search like everyone else. I think he likes people he's comfortable with. I think relationships are really big to him. I don't think he's like, I got to get the hot guy like Ben Johnson. I think it's more likely he's got to get someone he's comfortable with.
Well, how about this? And you followed football for a long time, longer than me, obviously, as Andrew Perloff is here. I've never seen a search. We had Nick Karras on the other day who covers the Cowboys. He goes, well, Jason Witten will be on staff, and the running backs coach is either going to be DeMarco Murray or Tashard Choice. I'm like, we already know who the running backs coach is and another guy that's going to be on staff, but we don't know who the head coach is. The Cowboys, they just can't get out of their own way. It's amazing.
What about it? Is Al Harris still there, too, the DB, the renowned DB coach?
Yeah, what's next? Drew Pearson's going to be the wide receivers coach? Like, come on. It's just crazy.
That's true. Also, you know, I keep telling Maggie, the Cowboys schedule, brutal next year. They get the NFC North, which is going to be incredible, and they get the AFC West with those three coaches. So I think, and Washington's better. I think this is a rebuild's coming soon, like it or not.
So, like, what's Maggie's plans? Just wondering for Sunday. Like, she has now have to go on the treadmill during the game, right? But that has to happen.
You know, I was walking out of the studio, and she's saying, she said something to the fact that the treadmill didn't work in the third quarter of a game like 3 weeks ago. She's so darn superstitious. You can't even keep track of where she is. So now she's weighing the options of the treadmill and just wine. Just wine. Alcohol.
You know what? I would say get rid of the treadmill. It's just ridiculous. To watch a football game on the treadmill is ridiculous. I would get some wings, some blue cheese. Yeah. And if they win, I think Maggie has to like throw blue cheese all over her head. And celebrate that way like it's the Duke Mayo's Bowl. But yeah, if they don't win, I think wine is the way to go for Maggie Gray. We don't no one's winning on the treadmill on a football Sunday.
But I don't understand, and I think I do understand. Like, I got a team that's alive this weekend. I have the Eagles. Nobody cares, but I think it's because I have that ring.
Yes.
I think it's a, you know, it doesn't like. I've won. Like, I'm not going to sit on a treadmill to help Jalen Hurts and the gang. Like, that's on them.
Let's be
like,
real. Even if the Eagles didn't have a Super Bowl ring, you're not getting on a treadmill on a football Sunday.
No, not on a Sunday. I am superstitious, though.
Yeah.
As we all are. Oh, yeah. If we score a touchdown and I'm standing over by the refrigerator, I have to watch the rest of the drive that from there. I am weirdly superstitious.
I heard if you had turtle soup tonight, homemade, that the Eagles are going to win. That's what I heard. Last thing I'll ask you before the picks. Notre Dame, Ohio State. You always have a peculiar pick here. Are you going against the grain? You're taking Notre Dame.
I'm taking Notre Dame to cover, Ohio State to win. But I think Ohio State has won it. Remember how Dean Smith is the only person who could hold Michael Jordan under 20 points? Ryan Day and Chip Kelly are the only people who can hold Jeremiah Smith under 100 yards. In fact, they can hold him under 5 yards. They are so, because I picked them a lot this year, and watching them randomly go conservative killed me. And I think they'll do that again. They think their defense can check Notre Dame, and they'll probably want to win this game like 24-17 instead of what they should do and go out and win 41-7. But I got to warn you, I am picking Notre Dame to cover, but Nick Kostos came on and was today from BetQL, our buddy. He was so confident Ohio State's going to blow him out. I admit I did stop in my tracks.
Now, I will say this.
What's your take? I'm dying to know.
Well, here's what I'll say with Nick. You know, he is due to kind of go viral for the wrong reasons. Like, Nick is usually always right, so there could be some cold takes exposed. I'm giving a spite pick. I'm entitled to one spite pick a year. Mm-hmm. I can't stand Ohio State. I do not want to see Ohio State win. I do not want to see Ryan Day be happy. I think Ohio State's a better team. I think they should win the game. But give me an honor of the great Lou Holtz, where Ryan Day was disrespectful to Lou Holtz last year, and he did not respect his elders. I will take Jeremiah Love and a bunch of defense and special teams. 23-20 Notre Dame in the Zach Gilb Show spike pick of the year.
I love it. I love it. But, you know, you're going to watch that game, and if that happens, that will be the biggest blown opportunity because Ohio State's so much better, especially with Notre Dame's injuries. That'll be the inferior team winning the game because they have a lot more heart than Ohio State. And I love the Ohio State players, but when Travion Henderson hit that guy in the face in the middle of the semifinal game, I'm like, dude, who are you playing for? Are you playing for yourself or are you playing for the team? In Notre Dame, everyone plays for the team. They love Marcus Freeman. By the way, and spite pick, have you ever met anyone who doesn't like Marcus Freeman?
Brian Kelly. That's probably it. Brian Kelly has to hate his guts now. Man, you're doing what I couldn't do at Notre Dame. But outside of Marcus Freeman's one, we go back to week two this season. Yeah, Pat Boyle couldn't stand Marcus Freeman after what happened up against NIU.
Pat Boyle, I go for his scouting report every day. And by the way, I don't know if you have you talked to him?
Yeah.
Our buddy. He's a little pessimistic about this matchup.
He's been pessimistic. He goes into the year they're winning the championship. They lose to NIU, and then you would have thought they were South Harmon Institute of Technology. Like, seriously. He has not said a nice thing about them since the loss to NIU. Anyway, let's cue up the music here, Stu, and let's get to the four games this weekend for some NFL picks.
It's time for NFL picks on the Zach Gelb Show.
All right, the NFL picks time. Perloff, we have the Texans and the Chiefs. We'll just go in order here. Chiefs are an 8-point favorite. What's your pick?
So we make picks in the last hour of our show, and I picked the Texans to cover. I had 8.5 at the time. I just think that's too many points because of the way the Chiefs have played this year. Like, all of a sudden, the Chiefs are going to become the high-octane Chiefs. Even in last year's playoffs, they were kind of conservative. I don't give the Texans a prayer to win this game, but I feel like the Chiefs will keep it close. I mean, they played earlier. It was 27-19. I think this might be a better Texans team because the defense is healthy. So I think it's a kind of a slog, and I'm giving Texans a chance to cover. Chiefs to win, Texans to cover.
I see the game exactly the same way. I think this is going to be a sloppy game. First half could be a little bit ugly. Maybe we're saying, oh, the Texans could pull off the upset. When push comes to shove, Mahomes and Kelce, they'll do what Planet Players do, and that makes Planet Plays this time of the year. We'll use your line because it benefits both of us, so we will buy up the half point there. We will both go Texans plus 8.5 points. My next pick, we will go Commanders and Lions. This spread is Detroit laying 9.5. I think this is begging you to take the Commanders. I know that everyone loves this Commander story. Jaden Daniels, Dan Quinn, Adam Peters, no more Daniel Snyder in that organization with Josh Harris running the team. I just see the Lions winning this game by 10 points. I like Detroit like 30-20. So give me the Lions laying the 9.5 points. You?
Yeah. Simpatico. Once again, you know, I got it. You're going to get mad at me. I got it at 8.5 on DraftKings this morning. It came down. Hmm. And then I don't know if it's gone back up. And that was a key number for me. Not that that is a key number. I know that's not a betting key number, but I agree. I think that it's interesting because they have David Montgomery back. They can salt away a lead. The Commanders, I've been getting a lot of flack on social. I'm not sold on the Commanders. If Jalen Hurts hadn't gotten hurt in that last game that the Commanders won 36-33, I think the Eagles blow them out. I don't think their defense is great. Jaden Daniels, fantastic. He's the best. But I think the defense is the weak link here.
All righty. We'll continue to use your lines because if they keep on benefiting both of us, we'll keep on going that way. So Lions laying 8.5, Texans plus 8.5. All righty. Rams and Eagles. I will be in attendance. I don't know. Are you going?
Oh, you are going? Okay.
You going?
No. I'm not going to this game. I can't because of family commitments.
So what are you doing during the game? You watching with your family?
No, I basically can't leave early for Philly that day. I got to drive my kids around. So I'll watch it at home.
But you will be watching the game as it happens.
Oh, no. There's no family commitment. Keep me away from a TV.
So here's the spread. I believe we both have, there's the Eagles. The spread is 6.5. I haven't seen it anywhere different in any other book, but you tell me with whatever line you have and what you want to go with.
Well, I would tell you right now, we had it at 6 this morning. Now, I think that half point came because of the snow. I'm being dead serious. Like, we knew there was a chance of snow. That has changed a lot. Remember, we're at 9 o'clock this morning, Zach. I've been following the Doppel, whatever, radar really closely. This is a disaster for the Rams. I think the Rams are a really, really good team. And I think they screwed themselves by navigating. So they had to go to Philly in the second round. This is the worst trip. I don't think they're good outside. I think the Eagles cover this game.
So what is it supposed to be, 4 or 5 inches of snow?
Possibly, yeah. I actually don't have the number, but definitely precipitation, definitely cold.
So I'm worried because I'm driving down to the game, right? Yeah. And then I have to leave afterwards because I got to get back to New York City on Sunday night because I'm going to the national championship game on Monday. I hope.
What are you flying out in the morning?
Yeah, flying out in the morning. Like 7 a.m. flight, I think. You know, I'm on Monday, so the airport better have their damn act together, because if I have delays, we all went to Kansas City for the draft. Everyone got home safely, but me. I had to stay an extra night in Kansas City, so I just hope I don't get screwed over here. Anyway, I'm using 6.5 because I'm taking the points with the Rams. I think this is a close game. I love Verse. I love Fisk, but I think the Eagles still win. They're just going to have to sweat it out. And maybe Jake Elliott hits a little game-winning kick in the snow.
Rams
plus 6.5. Perloff has to sweat it out a little bit, but his Eagles do advance to the next round.
It's freezing. You're not going to sweat. And if Jake Elliott's not coming out on that field, like, nobody trusts him. let me ask you a question about the Rams. If this game was in L.A., who would you pick moneyline-wise?
I think I'd pick the Rams.
Me too.
Yeah. I think I would pick the Eagles at home in the playoffs is just so tough. You know, when Andy Reid was the coach, different. With Nick Sirianni and Doug Peterson as the coach, home playoff game, Philadelphia, very tough. All righty, finally, Ravens and Bills. Bills are a 1.5-point dog. Ravens, the 1.5-point favorite. What's your pick on this toss-up?
Why is a divisional round home team an underdog? I know it's only 1.5. I assume that's the number right. Yeah, I pick the Bills. And again, because of weather. This is so stupid, my reasoning. Josh Allen's bigger, will deal with the elements better than Lamar Jackson. Now, Lamar Jackson, the coldest game he's ever played is 27 degrees. Everyone on my Twitter feed says, oh, he plays at Baltimore. He's used to the cold weather. No quarterback likes the cold weather. I feel like Buffalo can play conservative-style football better than Baltimore because with that weather, you're going to take out the big explosive plays. You're not going to have Rashad Bateman 50-yard touchdowns. I think Buffalo is designed to win at home in this condition.
We're on the same picks for 3 out of 4. I'm taking the Bills as well, plus 1.5. I think the Bills win the game outright. So Perloff and I are both on the Texans plus 8.5. The Lions laying 8.5. The Bills plus 1.5. And then Perloff is on the Eagles laying 6.5. I'm on the Rams plus 6.5 points. Appreciate you doing this, Perl.
Yeah, my pleasure. Can't wait to hang out in New Orleans, bud.
You got it. Tell your daughters to enjoy that turtle soup tonight, all right?
Later.
There he is, Andrew Perloff, the co-host of the Maggie and Perloff show right here on the Infinity Sports Network from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern time. And that will be fun in New Orleans. Always good to see Maggie, Perloff, and also EJ. I'll tell you, I think EJ is the most underrated because EJ, he has an impeccable ability to find really good restaurants. I've had some good meals on some network trips with EJ in his short time as the producer of the Maggie and Perloff show. You know, you know what? I think he had a good rookie experience last year. I'm just hoping he doesn't have a sophomore slump here because I'm really, really, really relying on EJ for some good recommendations. Update time. Here he is, the Ackman, Rich Ackerman. All right, it's time to answer Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Let's go to Bella B in Calgary. Hey, Zach, if a player you really like gets traded to a team that you really hate, do you like him less? Thanks. Bella B in Calgary. You can submit a question by tweeting at INF Sports Editor at Zach Gelb using the hashtag Ask the Pros. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Stu, I think for you, you may feel happy for the player because they escaped the Raiders. Like, let's say if there's a player you really like and he gets traded somewhere else that's in a much better situation. I think, Stu, you're at the point where you're such a tortured soul that you don't hate the player. You just hate the organization. You go, okay, I wish that player the best. Is that fair?
Yeah, I would say so.
So if I have a player that I like really like, and he gets traded to another team, do you like him less? Like, yeah, I like him less because he's not on my team. But am I sitting there rooting against the player and hoping that the player is horrible? No. And I've had some friends that are on teams that I did not like as a kid. And, you know, I think you root for the relationship and the friendship more. But then if they go up against your team, you're rooting for your team. So that's the way that I would answer that. All righty, Stu. What's the headline on Monday? Texans and Chiefs. What do you think the headline is?
I think it's a blowout win for the Chiefs, and I think the offense comes alive and they score in the 30s, which is not something they've really done too much this year. So I think that's what we're talking about, a blowout win.
I think the Texans scare the Chiefs a little bit. I think the Chiefs still win, but I believe that people are going to be saying, is the winner of Buffalo or the Ravens going to do what we've all been wanting teams to do, and that's take down Kansas City when it matters? Commanders, Lions. What is the headline coming up on Monday?
I think it's going to be proof that for like a rookie quarterback like Jaden Daniels, it's just going to be too much too soon, and he's going to struggle. As good as he is, I just think it's going to be rough for him, and I would be pretty shocked again if it's a close game.
I'm going to look at Aaron Glenn. I think this is a big Aaron Glenn spot, where just like how it was on that final regular season game up against the Vikings, he started to get a lot of praise. I think you'll have an effusive amount of praise for Aaron Glenn coming up on Monday. Rams-Eagles, what's your headline, Stu?
Nick Sirianni costs the Eagles and they go home.
You're picking the Rams to win?
I'm picking the Rams to win.
Wow! Nick Sirianni costs the Eagles and the Eagles are going home. And that could be a spot for Matthew Stafford, another huge win. And then can you imagine Stafford going to Detroit? I know we saw it last year in the postseason. We've seen him play also in the regular season too this year. Could you imagine we get an NFC Championship game? Rams, Lions, and for the Lions to get to the Super Bowl, they have to beat their old pal in Matthew Stafford. And let me tell you something. Matthew Stafford could become really unpopular in Detroit if he walks into Detroit and sends the Lions home and they don't get to the Super Bowl. If that's the matchup next week on Conference Championship Sunday. That would really be something. And also, you know Kelly Stafford's going to do something insufferable. Because whenever she goes to those games, like she makes herself out to be the victim when talking to the fans and all that stuff. I think that's just like for podcast clicks. I don't really think Lions fans are being rude to Kelly Stafford. Like, they booed your husband. What do you expect? Your husband's on the opposition. I think the book club is a huge headline. I do. I just envision like 60,000 Eagles fans showing up with inner excellence. No, but all kidding aside, Jalen Hurts does enough. Jalen Hurts knocks off the rust and sets up the stage for the two best teams in the NFC with the Lions and the Eagles. Ravens and Bills. This is the juiciest. Yep. Like Texans, Chiefs, Commanders, Lions, like the headlines are like whatever. Rams, Eagles. Stu, you had a very good headline. What's your headline for Ravens and Bills?
I think it is five Josh Allen touchdowns, and Ooh. They do just enough offensive. I mean, I think it's going to be a bit of a shootout, even despite the cold weather. I think it's still going to be a shootout, and I think it's going to be the Bills doing just enough to get, you know, over the Ravens.
Wow. Five touchdowns.
Yeah.
And just enough? And yes, I slammed the baseball bat here. I have the Manny Rodriguez bat.
I think it's going to be something like 38-35, 38-34.
I think I should hide this bat, by the way.
So Manny doesn't know where
Manny
it is.
I think Manny would lose his mind. Be like if you hide like a dog treat from a dog and they can smell it, but they have no clue where it actually is. You know what? I think we need to put you up against Hickey. Billy Wolf just said,
Uh-oh.
Hot take smoking stew. Craig, stew is becoming hot take
no,
Hickey.
No, I don't want that.
But if you think about it, you could be right take stew or something.
Ooh.
Or smart take stew. Because I know Hickey, he said that the Eagles are going to win the Super Bowl this year. He always picks against the Bills. You're taking the Rams, and then you are taking the Bills. So this could be a hot take Hickey battle up against smart take Stu. I really hope you're right, because I kind of like smart take Stu.
Has a ring to it.
It does. Anyway, though, Ravens and Bills, the headline, Bills get the job done. Josh Allen proves why he's the MVP, even though it's a regular season award. And now, Buffalo, can you get the job done when it matters the most up against the Kansas City Chiefs? Stu, I actually think you did a better job in that segment than me. And I don't usually say that. But I think we should do this as a segment now moving forward. What's the headline with Stu? Because your headlines, especially the last two, Stu got that dog in him. Stu got that creativity in him. That was a pretty good job. You know, maybe he had a little smoke break during the commercial break. That's why Stu was so creative today. Set himself off on a football Friday in a little bit of good mood. Jamming. All righty, man. All righty, that will do it for the Zach Gelb Show, the Infinity Sports Network. Enjoy the weekend, everybody. For Stuart Kovacs and Michael Stamter and also Rich Ackerman, we thank you for tuning in. Whether it's a SiriusXM channel 375, one of our great local Infinity Sports Network affiliates, the free Odyssey app, and is always streaming on YouTube. I'll be here Sunday for Sunday morning football, 10 a.m. to noon Eastern time, many of these same stations. And then on Monday, as long as the weather cooperates, I'll be in Atlanta, Georgia for the national championship game, broadcasting to you in our normal time slot, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific time. We will chat on Sunday. We'll chat on Monday as well. Have a great weekend, everybody. We out. Bye-bye. Peace.